Oh, come on now. What a joy and privilege it is to be in God's house. Good morning. Amen. Amen. Will you help me in really appreciating this children's ministry? Amen. And my prayer is that the words of those song, of that song, does not ring empty in the hearts of these God's people. That if you're here today and you've never called on Jesus, will you take their charge serious? To by faith, place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. If you're here today and you've never made that decision, we want to encourage you to make the most important decision of your life. Don't take it for granted. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray together. Father, how grateful we are for the privilege that is ours, those of us who have called on the name of Jesus, those of us who celebrate being saved by his precious blood. Thank you from those of us who have followed him in believers' baptism. And now, God, as we turn our attention toward your word, will you speak to us, challenge us, convict us? But God, will you change us, continue to shape and conform us into the image of your dear son, Jesus Christ, for it's in his name that we pray and ask you for it all. And the people of God said, amen. Well, if you've got your copy of God's word, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, we started in 1 John chapter 4 on last week, and we talked about Love Does, a two-part series, Love Does. This week is Love Does Part 2, 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 20. I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of God's word if you're at all physically able to do so. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at the 20th verse. And there you'll find this simple word. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that we who love God must love his brother also. Amen. You may be seated. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. I didn't say it. The Bible says that we are commanded to love. And in this charge that love does, as we suggested on last week, that love is an action word. Love is not just a verbal, audible declaration of affection, but love is an action word. It puts its love into practice because love does. Declaring your love for God without displaying love for your brother makes you a liar. That's what the Bible says. Preaching and professing our love for God without practicing love for those whom God loves makes us hypocrites. That if we don't love who God loves, we are hypocritical in our declaration of our love for God. Singing and saying without showing and sharing makes us fake, phony, and fickle. So how do we, as a church family, how do we avoid being labeled hypocrites and liars by the very community that we've been called to reach? How do we avoid living in contradiction to who we are and what we've been called to do? I think it's simple. Because love does two things. And today's message is so simplistic that many of us are missing it because we're looking for deep and theological truth when God is saying, but you're not doing the simple things. And so two things that love does, and then I'll get out of your way. Love loves. I see y'all were looking for something big and deep. Love loves. Any person who has genuinely experienced the love of God will express that same love toward others. I said anyone and everyone who has experienced a genuine loving relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, will show that same love to others. And so it's a test. Are you loving others? Are you loving all people equally? I know. That's not what we see in many churches. In fact, I've often said that church people are some of the meanest people in the world. Notice I did not say Christians are the meanest people in the world, because there is a distinct difference between church people and Christians. And so, are you loving? Are you loving all people equally? Even your enemies. Because it's easy to love people who love you. But love doesn't need to be loved in return. And there are many of us who love people as long as they love us back. And if they don't love me, I don't particularly love them. I'm not the only one. And there are many of us, far too many of us, who love people only because of the love or the affection that they give to us. But yet Scripture commands us not only to love those who love us, but even to love those who hate us. You don't believe me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Jesus says, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on evil and good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? It's easy to love people who love you back. It's harder to love people who don't like you and who don't love you, but love loves. Love hides a multitude of sin. And yet you and I have been called by love to love. So you grade your own paper. I wasn't always a very good student, but I loved when the teacher would say, you get to grade your own paper. It's an opportunity to self-examine. Am I picking and choosing who I love? Love loves. Jesus says again in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the laws and the prophets. That we have this commandment by love, or this commandment from love, to love God and to love people. All people. All people equally. And I know you're saying, well, that's a no-brainer. But many of us are not practicing that type of love. We have those who we love and those who we don't love. And sometimes we choose who we don't love for the strangest of reasons. They hadn't done anything particularly to us. We just don't like them because they don't look like us. We don't particularly care for those people because those particular people have a reputation of you fill in the blank. And so sometimes we have the audacity to think that the love that God showed for us is different than the love God shows for them. And therefore, it didn't take God a whole lot to love us because I'm me, you know. But in reality, all of us are unlovable. Yes, even you. You're hard to love by a sovereign God who calls us to holiness. And yet there are every one of us in here who have not lived up to that level of expectation from him. And yet in spite of our faults and our failures, he loved us. Now I know that don't excite y'all, but that excites me. Because I know me better than anybody. And yet, in spite of all that I know about me, he knows much more about me. And in spite of knowing so much about me, he loved the hell right out of me. I know that don't excite y'all, but that excites me. And yet he then calls me, who have experienced so much love, to show and share, display that same love to other people who have not yet experienced the love that I have experienced. Love loves. Love loves God. Love loves all people. Jesus says again in John 13, 34, I've read this scripture in the past, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also must love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. I know it's simple. But I think we need to check our love meters. Are we loving all people equally? Even folk that don't like us. In fact, in this very book, 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, John presents this hypothetical case of a person who claims to love God, yet acts in a way that contradicts the words that he's saying. That if you have the world's goods and you see your brother in need and you do not minister to him, you are contradicting the very declaration of the love you say you have for God. Love loves. But lest I keep you too long, second thing that love does is love obeys. Uh-oh. Any person who genuinely possesses the Spirit of God will obey the commandments of God. I need to say it again. Anyone who genuinely possesses the Spirit of God will obey the commandments of God. Because there are many of us who are proclaiming our love for God, but our lips and our lives live in contradiction. We say one thing, but we live something totally different. Anyone and everyone who genuinely possesses the Spirit of God will live their life in such a way that their lives are marks of obedience to the commandments of God. Are you even trying to obey God? In fact, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done all many of wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you practicer of lawlessness, or you worker of iniquity. That just because you proclaim and declare your love for God with your lips, if your lips and your lives work in contradiction, I'll be so bold as to say you don't know God. Now, it'd be easy if I was talking to those outside the church, but unfortunately, there are far too many of us who name the name of Christ, yet walk in disobedience to the very commandments of God. And we make all these excuses why we don't obey God. We blame everybody else. It's not my fault. It's their fault, and it's his fault, and it's her fault, and deacons blame pastors, and pastors blame deacons, and husbands blame wives, and wives blame husbands. Children blame parents, and parents blame children. Republicans blame Democrats, and Democrats blame Republicans. Listen, my friends, love obeys God. And yet I believe we're called to examine our love meter and determine, am I a person who is walking in love and walking in obedience? In fact, Jesus says again, Luke 6:46, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Don't call me Lord if you're not going to obey me. I am only Lord when you surrender your life to me and allow me, not me, but Jesus, allow me to be the boss of your life. Is Jesus the boss of your life? Do you do what he says do? Or is it, God, I would if. I would do it, but. And we've got all these excuses. And I love what our sister said. Saying yes to God is easy. And yet there are many of us who have never said yes. Not complete yes. It's a conditional yes. Yes, unless it costs me too much. Yes, unless it takes me too far. Yes, unless it stretches me too far. Yes, unless it changes my church too much. Love obeys. Love simply says, you're God, I'm not, I'll follow you. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know you hold tomorrow. I don't know what's around the corner, but I trust you. And I know that you know the end even from the beginning. So I walk in obedience to you. Because love loves and love obeys. So Jesus says, don't call me Lord if you're not obeying me. He says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, the choice is yours. Maybe you will, maybe you won't, but if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey what I've commanded you to do. And I have commanded you to love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, with all of your soul, and love your neighbor out of the overflow of the love that you have received. So love does. Love obeys, and love loves. So how are you doing as you've graded your own paper and examine your own heart of whether or not I am really loving God the way I proclaim that I love God? That sometimes even in the church, there are people who sit on one side who don't know or love people on the other side. Listen, if we can't love folk in here, ain't no need of us pretending you're gonna love folk out there. Is this thing on? If you can't love each other in here, in the safety of the sanctuary, then there's no need of us pretending and acting as though we're truly going to love the community that you've been called to reach. So how are you doing? It's hard to love the unlovable. Newsflash, you are the unlovable. And I am the unlovable. I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why he gave his life, but oh, I'm so glad that he did. Because I wouldn't have loved me. And yet, in spite of me, he went to Calvary and he died. He loved me even when I was an enemy. In fact, Romans 5:8 says that while I was an enemy to God, God commended his love toward me, and Jesus Christ died for me.
He demonstrated how I ought to live in this world, to love people who are far from God, to show the love and share the love of God with them that they might come to him. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I do what I do because I want men to come to faith in Jesus and to experience the love that I have so freely received. How bad do you have to hate someone to know they're on their way to hell and let them go? So let me get out of your way. But I'll conclude by saying this. If you are not trying to obey the commandments of God, and if you are not attempting to love all people equally, then your claims of loving God ring shallow and empty, and even sounds like a lie. So, connection point, let's not be liars. Let's be those who show and share the love of Christ with all people. Let's demonstrate what it means to walk in a loving relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Love loves. Love obeys. The Jesus in me, there was a song we used to sing in VBS, loves the Jesus in you. The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in me, in you. You're easy. So easy. Easy to love. And yet every week, there are many of you who are gathered here, and some of you leave looking for love, while others of us refuse to share love with you. And I stand as a witness to say to you, the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. Maybe there's somebody here today and you've never experienced this type of love. I've got good news for you. That love is available to you right now. But you must do like the children just admonished you to do, to call on Jesus, to trust him and him alone for your salvation. And if you're here today and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, let me invite you to come and make the most important decision you'll ever make in this life. In fact, prayer counselors are moving into place. There's some men and women who will stand before you, and they would love to pray with you and to share with you how you might walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and you're saying, I don't feel like walking forward. Well, listen, if you walk out that door, there's a connection booth just outside that door. In fact, after the benediction, I'll be standing there. If you know you're here and you need to give your life to Jesus, either come here or meet me at the connection booth. Don't leave here the same way you've come.